No baseball. No sports in America. And we're grumpy about it. But thank goodness for ESPN, right? ESPN came out with a documentary called The Dance, and it's covering the life of the GOAT, the greatest of all time. Kevin, it's not Tom Brady. It's Michael Jordan. We're so excited about that. The greatest of all time. But we're even more excited about today's sermon from the Sermon on the Mount. And it's the GOAT also. It's going to be the greatest of all teaching. That's what it is. Here we go. Let's pray to get into this. Father, we're thankful for today that we could come together or even stay apart, but in our spirit, we come together and worship you. We love you so much, and we pray today for insight from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, our verse, it's Matthew 7, verse 12. And it says, "So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets." We're going to see that this teaching about love is the greatest of all teachings. It's the GOAT. But I want to say something about the law and the prophets first. What does it mean? It sums up the law and the prophets. This teaching sums up the law and the prophets. You know, the law and the prophets, that's a lot of stuff to summarize, you know, in one sentence. It's a lot. Because what does it mean, law and the prophets? Well, Jesus used this term to mean the whole Old Testament. And that Old Testament includes stories, and it includes commands, and it includes poetry. It has things like the story of Abraham and Isaac. And what can we learn from that about loyalty and about love? And it includes stories about Joseph and about Moses, both being in Egypt under a Pharaoh. And how do you live if you're a minority in a land that's great, but not great towards you? And then there was stories about Elijah and Isaiah, where they would go to war, really, against foreign and gods and against foreign armies. And their faith is tested. And we see how our faith can grow by learning these stories. And then there's things also included in what Jesus called the law and the prophets, like the Psalms. Like Psalm 23, where we learn about trust and we learn about following God. And then there's Psalm 51, where we learn about confessing our sin and repenting. And there's Psalm 13, where we learn about how do we talk to God when we're disappointed or sad or worried. And so all this is the law and the prophets. And Jesus says he can summarize it in this one sentence. Wow. Well, let's think about that a minute. It means all the teachings, and then Paul, he's going to say some things about this too, and so is John, and all the Gospels are going to talk about it, because here's the thing, Jesus was a rabbi. He knew all of the law and the prophets, and people would come to him, and they'd ask him the question, what's the greatest of all teaching? What is it? What's the GOAT? And he was very consistent. Sometimes people would come because they really wanted to know. And he would tell them. And then sometimes people came and asked him the question, what's the greatest command? Because they wanted to trick him. They wanted to get him into some kind of trap. But he was always consistent, and he went back and he quoted two different verses from the Old Testament. First from Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy 6, he would tell these people, and it's in Matthew, and it's in Mark, it's Luke, it's throughout the Gospels. And he said this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And then he would go take this out of Leviticus, and love your neighbor as yourself. Over and over, he would say these are what's most important. As a matter of fact, in Matthew 22, verse 40, Jesus says, All the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. Very consistent there. So for our verse, verse 7, Matthew 7, verse 12, our verse is a little bit different. It's more, I guess I want to say practical. It's something you can put into practice. But it's the same point, loving your neighbor as yourself. Now this verse acts as a literary summary of the whole Sermon on the Mount. And not just, it's a summary of the whole law, all of the 39 books of the Old Testament. It's a summary of that, but it's also a summary of the Sermon on the Mount, especially that central portion. If you take the Beatitudes, that's kind of the introduction. Then in verse 17 of chapter 5, you get into the central part of the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus begins by saying, I came not to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill the law and the prophets. Meaning, I'm going to show you how to put the law and the prophets, all the teachings of the Old Testament, I'm going to show you how to put them into practice. And then at the end, our verse for today, he summarizes it, these bookends, chapter 7, verse 12. These bookends, he says, this is what sums it up. It's do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But the Sermon on the Mount is more than just great literature. It's more than just great, a great speech. It's a life plan. The Sermon on the Mount is something that's a life plan that we need to put into practice. As I introduced the Old Testament to my sophomore classes at ACU, and we were going to go into the Old Testament. You know, there's two kinds of students in my class. One was the kind of student who knew they didn't know what the Old Testament was about. And then the other kind of student was the kind of person who thought they knew, but they didn't either. And so we're going to really dive deep into the Old Testament. And they always had the question, like, why? You know, why do we need to do this? And so I would read to them a verse from 2 Timothy, New Testament, because, you know, that's relevant. And so I would read this verse to them, chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. All scripture, Paul was writing to Timothy, his buddy. Paul's in prison. All scripture, meaning Old Testament, because there wasn't any other scripture that Paul could be writing about at that time. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that all God's people may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Hear that. Scripture equips us for every good work. The law and the prophets equip us. But man, sometimes we get lost as we read the Old Testament. We get lost in the cultural differences. We get lost in the difference between our culture in 2020 and ancient times and customs. And so our rabbi, Jesus, he puts all these stories into perspective. And he brings it down to one view. And this is what rabbis did. They would help you understand. They would interpret the scriptures. And what I did for my class... Excuse me, not a dry cough. What I would do for my class, I would write up on the board. And I'd walk in, first thing I'd do for the first all 4 or 5 weeks of class, I would draw on the big whiteboard behind me. I'd draw this picture because, you know, I'm an artist. And I was making the point that it's only through the lens of Jesus that we can understand the Old Testament. So we're going to put our Jesus glasses on. And where you do this most often is in these statements that Jesus would make about the goat, the greatest of all teaching. Okay? And so for us, the greatest of all teaching today is going to be this verse, chapter 7, verse 12. We know it as the golden rule. So in everything, we're making a summary statement when we use the word everything. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. This is the greatest of all teachings. Paul's going to make some commentary on this too. And he's going to do it in a way that I think helps us put it into practice today in 2020. Paul's going to say some of the same things. Now, so listen to him describe this, what Jesus was doing here in the Sermon on the Mount. This is chapter 13 of Romans, starting in verse 8. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others fulfills the law. Yeah, all the commands, just love each other. He says the commandments, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there may be are summed up in this one command. That's a great phrase. Whatever other command there may be. There's over 600 of them in the first five books of the Bible. Whatever the command may be, it's all summed up in this one command, Paul says. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. That's the bottom line. That's it. That's the summary. And that's where we are in the Sermon on the Mount. John, 1 John, puts it this way in chapter 4 of 1 John, verse 20. If you don't love people who you can see, then how can you love God who you cannot see? The command is love people. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And the golden rule puts it in ways that really make it more practical. They give you some, you know, meat on this skeleton here. What does love people look like? What does it mean to love people? Does it mean have a kind thought towards them? More than that, see? What does it mean to love people? Well, it looks like do to them what you want them to do to you. So I conducted a survey this last week through email, and I got a lot of responses. A lot of you responded, and some of you didn't, but that's kind of normal for us. And there were a lot of replies, and what I asked for, the way I asked for it, let me just read it exactly how I did it. I asked for it like this. Yeah, somewhere I have it written down. But I said that I wanted you to give me your top five ways that you would, oh yeah, right here it is. I'm reading it from the email. Send me a list of five ways you want others to treat you. I'm not talking about how you treat them right now. Five ways you want others to treat you. Okay, or put another way, five things you want people to do or not do to you. And so I got a lot of interesting answers, and I tabulated, you know, and I'm going to give you a list. And these are not necessarily in order, but it's the top 10. And I found it very interesting. I am going to say the number one answer was smile. You know, that's not in the Law and the Prophets. It's not one of the 600 commands, but it's good. Smile. You know, that means, and so if we're saying in our survey that we want people to smile at us, that means we're going to be smiling at them. See, that's how this is going to work. Anyway, smile, number one answer. Two, and this is not now, and this is just the top 10, but they're not in the order, but it's close. Recognize that I have value to contribute. I want people to recognize that I have value and I can contribute. Three, be kind. This is way up there. Be kind. Number four, listen. And people added some things like listen closely or listen so that you can understand me or just notice me. Listen. Number five, be encouraging. Specifically in this way, appreciate the things that I do. Number six, initiate friendly behavior. You know, I'm like this too. I want people to initiate. I feel like I'm always the one who's initiating. I'm always the one who's calling. I wish someone would call me. I'm always the one who's beginning some kind of activity with my family and my friends, and I want one of them to invite me out instead of me always invite them. But, you know, it is what it is. Nevertheless, on our survey, a lot of people want others to initiate friendly behavior with them. Number seven, be honest. Some people put it like this, don't lie. You know, it's both ways. Be honest. Number eight, respect boundaries, both of my family, myself, and my stuff. You know, all those came in under the big category of respecting boundaries. And then these last two kind of go together, especially when someone, when maybe you've done something wrong or someone thinks you have. So these two things. One, don't judge, and that's number nine. And number 10, don't, and forgive. So we don't want people to judge us. And so what should we do? Don't judge them, right? Like the sermon says, don't judge. Well, this is one of the ways we want to be treated. We don't want to be judged. So we shouldn't judge others. And when we do things that are wrong, what we want to do is be forgiven. So if we want to receive forgiveness, don't you know we ought to be the people who are forgiving? Well, this was really interesting because what we're doing here by thinking of how we want to be treated, what we're really doing is thinking, then getting ready to think about, okay, that's how I want to be treated. How do I need to treat others? And when I do this, I'm going to fulfill all the law and the prophets. So, having thoughtfully considered how you want to be treated, this list of how you want to be treated now becomes your job description. This is how you wake up in the morning, and I'm going to work, boys and girls. I'm going to go to work, and what am I going to do? What's on my things to do list today? Well, it's to forgive. It's to not judge. It's to initiate friendly behavior. It's to smile. It's all these things that I want people to do to me. That's my job today because my mission statement is the golden rule. And my job description is how I'm going to accomplish my mission. I'm going to love others like I love myself. I'm going to treat others like I want to be treated. And so the Gospels, the life and teachings of Jesus, become our example of how to get this done. Now, here's something that I think is pretty important. And for you to be able to do this well, that means to love your neighbor as yourself. For you to be able to do that well, you've got to love yourself well. Self-care, really important. And sometimes, you know, we think that, no, this is all about others. I need to just live for others. And that is true. But if I'm not loving myself well, I can't love my neighbor well. Self-care is important. So I want to give some ideas about how to improve your self-care. And the thing I want you to do, I want to suggest is that you spend some time alone with God and you ask God, you sit with God and you ask Him, what do I need to become a better person? What do I need to do? Maybe I need to forgive more. And you know what? Maybe I need to forgive myself. Maybe the person I'm judging is me. Maybe I need to be kind to myself so that then I can be kind to others. You get my meaning? And we're all different about this. That's why I think you need to spend some time sitting with God in prayer and asking Him, God, what do I need to do to be a better person? Well, God may come back and say, Bob, you need to be kind to yourself. Because out of the kindness you show yourself, you will be kind to others. That just doesn't mean selfish or stingy, but it means treating myself like Jesus would treat me. And then I treat others like Jesus would treat me. Another thing I want to do in that spending some time just sitting with God is to ask God, God, what do I need to experience more joy and more love and more peace? Because the Holy Spirit is offering these to me on a moment-by-moment basis. Not even day-by-day, moment-by-moment. He gives us daily bread. He gives us what we need for today. And what I need is joy. What do I need to do to experience more joy? Sometimes it'd be good to do this prayer list, sitting with God with another friend. I want to ask you this question. Do you have a friend who brings out the best in you, or a family member who brings out the best in you? Spend some time with them praying that prayer, and for each other, and let them hear your prayer. God, what do I need to do to become a better person? And then that friend might give you some love by telling you, hey, Bob, you need to forgive yourself. Sometimes I need a friend to tell me that. One of the people replying to the survey answered, one of their top five was this. They said, gently correct me when I'm wrong. Educate, not belittle. Man, I want a friend like that. I want to sit and pray this prayer. God, what do I need to do to become a better person with this person who is going to gently correct me and educate, not belittle? I need a friend like that. Sometimes we need to just sit in prayer with each other and with a person who's going to make you a better person, not judge you. In closing, here's what I want you to think about for today. And as you think about the greatest of all teachings, the GOAT, I want you to think about this. First, maybe you should revisit your list of five things. If you spent some time doing that last week, do it again. Maybe add a few, maybe subtract a few, whatever, change a few. And if you didn't do it, then make a new list. Make a list. What are things, what are ways I want people to treat me? Because I'm going to get up in the morning and I'm going to start treating other people like that. I want someone to initiate some friendly time with me. Well, they're not doing it, so I guess that's how I want to be treated. I need to treat them that way anyway, even though I've already been the one who's asked them to dinner 10 times. This is your job description. So as you make your list and you meditate and pray about your list, then go do it. Just go do it. And a lot of that might be on the phone these days. You know, we are in difficult days. But our faith is strong. Our faith is strong. If you're listening to this today, you're listening because your faith is strong. And you want it to get stronger. And our faith is made stronger in testing. So get up there and love your neighbor as yourself. This age-old teaching, the golden rule, that should be our guide in these times. How do you want people to treat you? Treat them that way. And by the way, that includes praying for each other. Love you guys. I'm praying for you. You pray for me.